Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Final Four Friday. And it's also a Brewers Outlet Friday, thanks to our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now for Final Four weekend and even save some for Monday night for the national championship game. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. And that is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, those six great flavors of slushies. Maybe could have used some yesterday amidst the stormy weather. Going to cool off a little bit this weekend, but soon enough, yes, we'll be back to those in full swing with those six great flavors of slushies. And, of course, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Steve, coming up soon from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. And a great sales staff that will help you to make sure you get the car that you need that fits your budget. And that's right for you. They're not just there just for the sale. That's why they're the home of the repeat customer. And, of course, that service department, a great service department indeed, here to help you with whatever you need for your current vehicle. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Loaded show on this Final Four Friday. ESPN Scott Crispin coming up. Scott Spinelli coming up to break it all down. And then the King back with us in the final half hour. And we're going to make our picks for the Final Four and then for the national championship game on Monday. So we are ready for it. I'm really excited for tomorrow night. We got two terrific games. Although I do worry about the Kansas-Villanova game slightly now that you don't have Justin Moore if you're Villanova. I still think they'll be able to keep it close for most of the game, but I think you can see Kansas pull away in the second half because I think the Wildcats might get at a point in that game where they're going to run out of gas and the depth's just not going to be there. It's going to be really interesting to see how they deal without Justin Moore and what the game plan is for the former Bucknell grad and Jay Wright, who, of course, I have full confidence that he would come up with something to keep his team in it at least. But the way Kansas runs, the way you have to stay with them, how quick they want to run some of those things. I mean, you saw it last week against Miami. Miami kept it going early and was able to defend well and stick with that and slow the game down a little bit. But then once Kansas got on that big second half run, I mean, it was over. It was long over. Not saying that's necessarily going to happen to Villanova, but I could see somewhere down the stretch in the second half where Kansas similarly pulls away. I could see that happening. I won't give my full picks yet. I don't want to spoil that. We'll save that for the final segment with the King. But that's just my feel of that game. And then the nightcap, it's just going to be ultra, ultra special. Potential to be. UNC North Carolina, already the first time these two teams are meeting in the NCAA tournament, which is just remarkable. But not only that, too, Coach K's final season, on the brink to get to a national championship game to cap off his illustrious career. But you put on top of that, Duke maybe looking for a little revenge against their rival after they spoiled Coach K's final game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, I should say, which was a good game in itself, too. So you can't ask for anything better. This weekend has potential to be so, so good for college basketball. And what's been a really, really good tournament, other than maybe a little bit of a lackluster weekend last weekend for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight with the lack of scoring. We talked about that yesterday. But I just can't wait. And especially if Duke does win and Coach K's in that spot, no matter who they play, whether it's Nova or Kansas, you can ask for a better script for college basketball. And you can, this would just be one of the best things that will ever happen to college basketball. It already is with just this Final Four alone. But if Coach K does get to the title game, I can't imagine what the viewership's going to be. Though I know it's on TBS, so that's going to plummet it somewhat. But
there
is going to be amazing.
There is a building across the street from Alexander Coliseum. When you make the turn into Georgia Tech, Alexander, right, to go up there. That's right. Where the Turner Building is.
Okay.
They have been jumping for joy for 6 days.
You better believe it.
They've been sitting in there going, we could not have asked for better. We got K, we got North Carolina, Kansas will bring a fan base, we got Philadelphia with Villanova. Like, they're feeling good. The rating will not be, I'm going to guess the rating won't be the same as last year. I mean, it'll be down only because last year was on CBS. But this is the best scenario they could possibly hope for. Now, say we were in the building, for example. You being Debbie Downer would find a way to find something negative.
There is nothing negative to this weekend.
I'm telling you, no, you would have. Right? Now, the Sioux would have found something negative. Oh, I'm not announcing it. It can't be big.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
It can't be big. So there you are. Okay. And you still haven't recovered from the 156 batting average yesterday. Again, that's why they created the internet. You can look things up.
No, I've moved on from that to now
basically
hitting the panic button on the Sixers after that slap fest of a fourth quarter last night.
It's a regular season game. The problem is now it puts them into a 4-5 matchup if they continue down this path.
I am okay with that, though, as long as it's still the Bulls. I did say that, but they're still. But even if they were to win that series, they're not. As of right now, they're not going to make that next step. They're just not.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to worry about Milwaukee tonight. They got the Clippers tonight, and Giannis isn't going to play. Not playing. I'm just telling you, he's not going to play. Yeah, Paul George, also not going to play for the Clippers. It's time to rest.
Cool.
Now, the guy has popped in, 84 points in two nights?
Against two hefty opponents.
Yeah. I mean, he
in the clutch.
Like a big-time player. I watched the end of regulation, and I watched the overtime last night. Very, very impressive. Very impressive. And, yeah. We're going to talk to Scott Spinelli today. Break down the Final Four. Then I'm going to talk to John Crispin today. And what I want to talk to John about is how do we improve the game? Then we'll get to a little bit in the Final Four. But how do we improve the game? That's really, because, again, scoring's down. And you got to be able to get a handle on it. How do we get a handle on it? And then, of course, the king today. I know that I know that Matt had an alternate plan, but we can't ace the king out.
Oh, no. No, we've taken care of that.
Man, we can't ace the king out. Can't.
And not only are the stakes high enough because it's the Final Four this week, but for us in particular, the stakes are high because you and I are now tied for the lead overall heading into this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what do I do?
And the king is only two games back, so it's still anybody's game, technically.
I know. I'm really, I mean, nerves are starting to get to me. All right. I'm not going to be able to watch the first part of tomorrow's game either. I've got to go to a function here at 5:30 tomorrow, but Tom Verducci's going to be at it, so I'm going to go over to it for about an hour. Then I'll come back at the Belisario College tomorrow. So, thought it'd be worth going to for a little bit. But, ooh, boy, the Rays lead the Red Sox 9-1 at the end of 6. I'd pull the team off the field. Let's see, how's your team doing today? Let's see, Blue Jays lead the Pirates 2-1.
I think they were down 1-0 earlier.
Losing 2-1 to the Tigers.
Okay.
Boy, does that scream disgrace. Let's check out the box score here. LeMahieu, 0-3. Hicks, 0-3. Gallo, 0-3. Torres, 0-2. These are the guys you're counting on? Really?
Supposedly.
Cole went 3 1/3, knocked him out. I mean, it's just, boy, it's time for you to give up. Chad Green, 2/3 of an inning, gives up a run. It's just, it's all bad. Now let's look at the Tigers. Oh, look at this. 1 for 3, 2 for 3, 3 for 4, 8 for 9. That's a big number. I'm just kidding. Preseason baseball. Grapefruit League. This is your team. I know you love them, but, you know, you can't buy success. And based on recent trends, no matter how hard the Yankees have tried, there's been, let's see now. Let's do some quick calculations here. They're 1 for their last 22. It's not good. Really? In terms of winning World Series? It's been kind of a lean time for you, hasn't it?
Spoken like a true Red Sox fan.
I mean, October must be the most depressing month for you. You know, playoff failure, then you whine about it. Eagles aren't playing well. October must be crushing.
Well, that depends on the Eagles, but it could be.
October must be crushing for you. Meanwhile, I'm walking around, the leaves have turned, beauty, appreciation for life, you know, and you're over at Walgreens buying, like, medications. What's going on? I'm just concerned for you, that's all. Now, did you see, in fact, I'm going to talk about this when we come back. Major League Baseball made an announcement today. We'll come back with that announcement in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by, Stock Up Now, Brewers Outlet.
The bench unit struggled compared to their bench.
Well, they didn't struggle. You know, they didn't get a lot of shots, you know, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, you know, it's just a tough night.
No good! No good! No good!
That was Doc Rivers last night on the lack of production from the Sixers bench, if I recall the quote correctly.
Correct.
You act like I don't know what's going on here, even though I have to guess half the time. All right, so it was a regular season game against Detroit. We'll move on. So let's get to Major League Baseball. This is a very small item, It's a very small item, but it goes to what I talk about all the time on the show. Little things, take care of the little things. The big things take care of themselves. Major League Baseball umpires this year, when they go to a review, will then be mic'd up. You know, the home plate umpire will be mic'd up, and they'll announce to the crowd in the ballpark what the ruling is and why. That's a small thing, but it is something that I have advocated for years. For this simple reason. It's a very simple reason. You cannot make the ballpark, the stadium, or the arena experience less than the home experience. You've got the ambiance of being there, the excitement of being there, but you have to give the fan that is also there all the amenities that the person at home has. Great replays on the video board. Okay, the official. Now in football, this is no issue. In college football and in the NFL, they've always announced the crowd where the penalty happens to be. That's great. The NBA now does a great system where on a replay they'll go and the lead official will announce on that mic there as to what's going on. College basketball needs to do that. It can't be. I'm going to go over and tell Grant Hill and Bill Radford, and you hear in the background. It's a confoul, not F1. You're like, what did he say? Not confoul, not F1? What? What's going on? Right?
I've always found that awkward, too.
Yeah, but it's wrong. Okay, it's 2022. I feel like I'm doing the intro to the $6 million man. We have the technology. It's 2022. You can do it with complete ease in every arena in the country. The NHL announces penalties, which is great. I think it's something college basketball needs to do. You go to the people in the seats should not be kept in the dark, or have a public address announcer have to then interpret what they just said. You made the ruling, you tell the crowd. Okay? There's a lot of PA announcers just flat out get it wrong. Sit there and go, no, that's not what they called. But that's all right. No offense to you. I haven't heard you do a game. But
no, honestly, I would love that, too, because then at the time, they don't tell me either, even though I ask them to.
Right, and they don't do it. They need to be mic'd up. So Major League Baseball doing that is a step in the right direction. It's a small thing, but it's going to be important to people at Citizens Bank Park, at PNC, everywhere in Major League Baseball, that the fan there finds out directly from the umpire what they called. Because guess what? They paid the money to be there. They should get that as part of their experience. Small, but again, take care of the little things. The big things take care of themselves.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, here we go. It is Final Four weekend. The women go tonight. Stanford against Louisville. Excuse me, my apologies. South Carolina against Louisville. And then the nightcap will be UConn against Stanford, the defending national champion. And that will be tonight in Minneapolis. Tomorrow, Villanova against Kansas. Nightcap, North Carolina Duke. So you want to make sure that you are fully stocked for this weekend. That means going to Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six awesome flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All in at the wonderful people at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The best. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Phillies lost to the Orioles today. What is going on? What's going on?
Oh, my almighty!
Oh, it's an exhibition game. It doesn't count.
Let Dick and Milton have his moment before the real season begins.
How generous of you. And it's so good that you think of others.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So am I supposed to be really worried about this competition thing at the end? Or am I supposed to continue to take my usual laissez-faire attitude about it?
Something tells me you're going to take the latter, Mr. 45 heart rate.
Pretty much. All right, so. I lose. I don't care. If I win, okay. I got it. Okay. An attitude you hate. You hate that attitude.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
You hate that. You want me to be ultra competitive and like, oh yeah, like, I mean, like, look, I broadcast one meaningful game after another. When it comes to my private life, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because I'm already like for hours on end during the course of a year doing games where it's like down to the last possession, whatever. Okay? So when it's something like that, which really I have no stake in, I just put my feet up. It's all good. You hate that, don't you?
I just can't comprehend it. That's just not how I function. And neither does the king.
I know. I got it. Younger, I was all competitive about everything. Now I'm like, no, not really. You know? Now, you get me to the Purdue game, September 1st, I'll be engrossed and like, come on, win that darn thing. Like, I'll be sitting there completely immersed in it. Okay? Completely immersed. When it comes to making picks for the Final Four weekend, whatever. I may throw a dart, see how it goes. You hate that. All right, it bothers you. And the fact that it bothers you makes it even more fun.
Oh, I'm aware.
I'm enjoying myself watching the two of you just like go, I want to win this thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. You're the host of the show. It looks bad. I don't care. All right, so let's talk about the Final Four. Scott Spinelli, former head coach, Boston College. He's been kind enough to give us a lot of time during the course of this run. Joins us now. Sir, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me again. Great to be here with you guys.
All right, so let's break it down. Obviously, Villanova has got Kansas. There's no more. But I've felt this is a game of pace. We know Villanova wants to keep the number of possessions down to begin with anyway. And Kansas wants to go high pace. How does this play out?
Well, first of all, you know, let's talk about that because it is a collision of philosophies in terms of how they play, to your point. But what's going to happen here is this. On every shot that Villanova takes while they're on offense, they're going to send multiple guys back in transition defense. And so what that's going to do is prevent Kansas from really getting out and running and playing at the pace that they want to play. They're going to put him in the half court, which is where Villanova defensively is at his strongest in terms of defending. What happens, though, on the other side of it is going to be this. If Villanova's not turning the ball over, which they don't much, and Kansas can't get out and run and get easy baskets, then it becomes a half court game. And look, I look back to 2018 as a good barometer when they played in the Alamo Dome against each other. And when you look at that game, you know, Villanova made 18 threes that night and set a record and put it on Kansas. I think they beat them by 16. I just think Villanova's, you know, unconventional style is really difficult for a team like Kansas who's not familiar with it, you know, where they almost use your fundamentals against you. They actually do in terms of positioning defensively off the ball.
There's also another element. We talk about Kansas size. Scott, I watch Villanova. They are as fine a box-out team that I've seen, not just this year, but almost year in and year out. Is that what you've found as well?
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, like, to your point, when they box out, they really do a nice job of trying to create space in there, too, where it gives them a little bit more room in terms of rebounding, positioning, in terms of where the ball comes off the rim. So, yeah, I think they're as good a defensive box-out team as there is in college basketball. And just fundamentally as a whole, I mean, they're just so, so well-drilled.
Harris has been starting at point guard, and there are a lot of people saying, you got to play Remy Martin. Okay, so let's take it from a coach's point of view. We know Remy Martin, to be honest with you, flirts with that line between aggressiveness and recklessness. I think that's fair. How important is trust in the person that you're putting out there? And do you think that plays a role? You know, we can't get into the mind of Bill Self, but, you know, why Harris is the guy that starts and not Martin?
Well, look, I think, you know, they've had so much success during the season. And really, it's kind of to have a guy like Martin coming off the bench where you know he's going to provide all kinds of potential firepower offensively, even though he averaged only 8 points a game. I think he's up to 17 in the tournament.
Yep.
But he's obviously a very capable offensive player. And at the same time, I think, you know, he's done a really good job. Coach Martin is really, you know, Coach Self, in terms of getting Remy to kind of buy into being a star in his role. And, you know, look, it's not easy for a fifth-year grad transfer to transfer in and accept that role. But I do think that role that he's playing right now is really valuable, and he could do a lot of different things. He brings energy, he defends, and if he's been needed to score, which he's shown in the tournament, he can do that also.
All right, so we talked about the pace. Kansas wins if they do what?
Kansas is going to have to defend the three-point line in this game without question. And again, when you talk about playing against Villanova, when they're posting multiple guys, they go from perimeter to post with their guards, you know, now you're in a position where you're off the ball, you can't lose sight of your man. And then when the ball begins to get lower into the post and your man gets further away from the basket in terms of weak side positioning, now are you going to be disciplined enough to stay connected, or are you going to help, like you're taught fundamentally, get off in weak side help position? Then all of a sudden the ball is being fired to your man, and then what's your closeout technique? Are you going to be in a long closeout where you're fundamentally sound? Are you going to be in rotation? I think that's the key to the game, is how Kansas defends Villanova as it relates to their skill set at all five positions. Even Dixon, I mean, he's not shooting a lot of them, but he's 50%+ from the three-point line. That's not a typical team that Kansas plays against, you know, in the Big 12. So I think that's going to be key for Kansas in this game on that side of the floor. To your point, they want to get this game going up and down. They want to run their lanes, get out in transition, run wide, get that first big to the front of the rim. And if they can get the pace, you know, to get a lead and try to get Villanova to play catch-up, I think that's going to be Kansas's best way of trying to win.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth. The ability to play with the lead, the psychology of it. If you're going to take 20 to 21 seconds per possession, which is about what Villanova does, they also need to play with the lead, don't they, in order to make that work?
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you know how you guys played? You know how deflating that is for the defense?
Oh, God.
To guard a team like Villanova.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden there's 2 seconds left in the shot clock, and then your man gets free, wide open, hits a three, and then you're like, wow, we just defended for the entire shot clock and we gave up a three-point shot. That's why it's so difficult to beat Villanova. It's not just the physical aspect and the scoreboard. There's a mental side of the game, especially in these Power 5 conferences. And look, I was in the ACC for so many years, and Virginia was very similar to that in a different way. You got to beat them physically and mentally. Hard to do.
Right. And this year, for example, I mean, because you know Penn State played that way this year, so I saw this on a game-in and game-out basis. And a guy like Jalen Pickett would hit a shot with three on the shot clock. You could see the team, the shoulders would go down. Like, really?
You know, as a coach, you come into the game and you've got to try to, you know, show video and explain to the guys, look, no matter what happens possession to possession, you know, you can't let that deflate your morale and let that affect you on the other end of the floor. Because then what happens is now you want to come down. Kansas wants to play fast. They're typically going to get a wide open shot early in the clock. Now, if they shoot that and they miss it, here we go again. Yeah. We're back on the other end of the floor.
Oh, and that's what happens. Teams that want to play fast go, okay, we got the ball. And they come down, they take the first shot. It's like, no. Just run your offense, will you? Okay, so now we get to round three, North Carolina Duke. I think it's safe to say that in 52 minutes of this thing that they played against each other. Let me do my math right. Whatever, it doesn't matter. 58 minutes, it's been Duke. 22 minutes, it's been North Carolina. The last 2 minutes of the first half at Cameron, and then the second half, they just rolled them. All the other time at Chapel Hill, Duke ran them out. And then they had the lead, obviously, at Cameron. So how does Duke need to handle that high ball screen that North Carolina had so much success with, especially in the second half when they only played five guys?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, and I'm going to kind of back it. First of all, their point of ball screen defense wasn't good in that game, and not just point of ball screen defense. I mean, their defense as a whole, guarding the ball, their one-pass-away positioning, two-pass-away, was off. And it carried into the ACC tournament. But I'm going to make a point about that game, if you don't mind, and that is this. That last game against at Cameron, which North Carolina and Duke played, I think it was a turning point in a very positive way for both teams. I think North Carolina now, after that game, felt like in a very hostile environment. They could beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place. And I think the confidence level of North Carolina from that game has, you know, kind of spilled into the NCAA tournament here, belief. On the other side, Duke, way too big of a stage that night for those young kids. I mean, they're kids, and they got the entire Duke brotherhood watching them. They're legendary players, the entire basketball world. It was just too big. And I think those kids felt like they let everybody down, you know, obviously Coach K and everything. They went into the ACC tournament, to your point. Their defense, including that point of ball screen defense in the middle of the floor, it was not good. All of the above kind of carried in from that game, and we felt coming into the tournament that they were going to refocus, get back home, really watch that film. And look, the two games that they really have played in a highly contested games in the tournament so far, Michigan State and Texas Tech, and both those games, they were down with 5 minutes to go, and they won the game on the defensive end of the floor. So, look, Duke right now, again, you know, I think in that middle ball screen positioning, I think their point of ball screen, they're going to have to get up on that point of ball screen and make that ball handler feel them, you know, whether they show flat, which they normally do. I don't think they're going to show aggressively hard on that. I think they'll just show top foot or flat, almost like in drop coverage, but a little bit higher. They were way back, and their guards weren't really punching over that screen. They were kind of getting stuck and really trailing it. So I look for that point of ball screen defense to be key in the middle of the floor.
What is the move of Jeremy Roach back into the starting lineup meant for how Duke plays on the floor now?
Well, I tell you what, he's had such a big impact, and he's made so many, you know, plays on both ends of the floor in the tournament. But again, you know, we talk about Duke coming in, you know, the two guys that were so consistent, obviously, has been, you know, Banchero in what he does, and it's generational skill and talent. And the other side is Williams. I mean, Williams has been really consistent in terms of rebounding, blocking shots, and, you know, it's being a presence. It's the guys like Roach, the guys like Moore, the guys like Griffin. I mean, those guys, Keels, those guys are all playing their best basketball. and the pressure of that last game at Cameron, I think it's taking the pressure off of these kids. I think now what you're looking at, and there is no statistic or analytical metric that can measure, you know, the value of a player's will to win and drive. And I think we're seeing that, and we talked about this prior to the tournament. Duke right now is driven, and their will to win, to me, is above everybody else's because of what happened that last game, and they want to send Coach K off on a positive here. But Roach has been huge, to your point.
I know that we talked about this the last time, but I don't think people realize Hubert Davis, it's not just him inheriting, you know, North Carolina basketball. He also wants to play a certain way that, you know, is different than Roy Williams. Are you seeing now North Carolina more comfortable with how he wants to play the game and his system compared to even 2 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Carolina was a work in progress, you know, as the year went on. And there's a couple things here to talk about with what Coach Davis, the great job that he's done and his staff have done with North Carolina's team this year. Let's look back. You talked about that game at the Dean Dome in which Duke beat Carolina pretty handily. And in that game, the most, to me, was really obvious is they had Banchero being guarded by Bacot in that game. And that was really a matchup problem for Carolina.
Right.
They go into the next game, and they switch it. And so they put Manic on Banchero. And they also, at times in that game, if you watched them, they tried to ice some ball screens on the side so they couldn't get back, which they haven't done a ton. And they also doubled some of those middle ball screens or handoffs late when Banchero was coming off. And that kind of caught Duke off guard. So from a tactical adjustment standpoint, Coach Davis and his staff have done a really good job. But one thing I will tell you, you know, being a guy that's been in this so long, when you're a longtime assistant coach, and I think we're seeing this, you know, we're looking this right in the eye, not just in basketball, but in all sports, it's relationship-based coaching now.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think you're holding your kids accountable. You give them tough love. But there's got to be a relationship there with the kid, his family, his support group, where they trust you. And I think, again, these kids got to want to play for you. And in a time in society where there's so much change, there's so much negativity in social media, these kids need head coaches who are relationship-based coaches, in my mind, I think.
I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Coach, thanks so much for your time. You've been great with us. We appreciate you very much and your insight.
Thank you for having me, guys. Okay, best of luck.
Scott Spinelli. Excellent segment. Not as, you know, and Matt took more notes for some reason with the gambling guy, but that's, you know. Okay, whatever.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
You've been hanging around the guy in the corner office too often. I mean, he wakes up every day, it's a gamble. All right, let's.
That's one of the most affectionate smooches of all time.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
The Yankees, by the way, are going to be putting 21 games on Amazon Prime. Wow.
Wonderful. Although I do have the ability to watch it now, so it doesn't totally affect me too much.
Wow. Check this out for Fox on Thanksgiving weekend. They'll have the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, USA England soccer from the World Cup and Michigan Ohio State football.
That's not bad.
Well, I'm glad you approve. I mean, it almost sounded for a moment like you had reached a level of happiness. No.
That's a good weekend for Fox.
You know what? Let's go to Brewers Outlet. That'll cheer you up.